Rising food prices have driven an estimated 44 million people into poverty since last June, forcing them to buy food that is both less expensive and less nutritious. According to numbers released in the World Bank's latest edition of Food Price Watch, global wheat prices have doubled since June 2010, while the prices of maize, sugar, and edible oils have also sharply increased. Hassan Zaman, a lead economist at the World Bank, told us more.
The main reason has been a really bad weather conditions in the former Soviet Union, in Canada, in Australia, all of which contributed to a spike in wheat prices, which started last summer, in the summer of 2010. That fed into the corn market, as wheat and corn prices go hand in hand in many ways. And in parallel, as oil prices started to rise, the incentive to produce ethanol from corn also goes up as the price of oil goes up, so that further pushes up corn prices. Now, as corn prices go up, that feeds into animal feed prices, which in turn leads to increases in prices of meat and other products. In parallel, the price of rice increased by about by less than the price of wheat and corn, increased by about 20% on global markets. And at the same time, other products like soybean, vegetables, and dairy have also gone up a fair amount during this period, partly because markets are interlinked and partly because of bad weather.
In the end, who is being most affected by all this?
The poor, and in fact the poorest, are the ones who are most effective in all the countries. And whenever food prices rise, unfortunately, it's the people who live on the margins of society who are the worst affected. Now, we do see variations across countries. We see that, for instance, in Central Asia, in the Kyrgyz Republic, Tajikistan, in Georgia, and in South Asia, in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, India, prices have risen substantially more than, say, in many parts of Africa. And that's because in Africa, a lot of the domestic prices are a function of local harvests. And local harvests, because of good rains and investment in agriculture, have been very good in Africa in 2010. So barring some countries like Burundi and the Democratic Republic of Congo, prices have remained relatively stable in Africa. But as I said, in parts of Central Asia and South Asia, in some other countries as well, there have been steep rises in prices, in domestic prices, which is what matters for the poor. And it's really the urban poor who are the most affected. And if you look within a household, often it's women and children who suffer the most.
Now, of course, rising food prices also affects nutrition, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's what we're most concerned about. It affects nutrition in two ways. One, it affects people who are undernourished in that they cannot afford to buy sufficient quantities of food and often have to skip meals, which clearly is a disaster for all poor people, and especially pregnant women and children between the ages of 0 and 2 who may never recover their nutritional status if they don't get enough food at this age. And the other thing that happens is that they switch from more nutritious foods like lentils and fish and vegetables into coarser staples, which are a cheaper source of calories. That reduces dietary diversity and reduces the intake of essential micronutrients, which also causes undernutrition, causes malnourishment. Now, there is a flip side to this as well, in that sometimes these shifts in these food prices also leads to an increase in obesity in some parts of the world. So, for instance, the fact that sugar prices have shot up means that the demand for high fructose corn syrup has also gone up. And we see, for instance, that the Mexicans are importing more sweeteners from the United States, according to the latest United States Department of Agriculture data. And that's in a country where obesity is clearly an issue. So there are many sides of this nutrition problem. I would argue that the more immediate and more serious ones, are for the undernourished. But one also has to think about the other linkages as well.
Now, what is the World Bank doing to help those most affected by this hike in food prices?
We're doing a number of things. First of all, we are scaling up our support for safety net programs and nutrition programs across the world, focusing on the most vulnerable countries. Now, we have to remember one thing, that, for instance, even though in Africa food prices haven't risen that much over the last year, many African countries are subject to many other types of shocks. And so our strengthening of safety nets isn't only a function of one specific shock like the recent food crisis, but the fact that some countries have multiple shocks over periods of time. And so we will also strengthen programs in countries which haven't been affected over the last 6 months by an increase in food prices. So one is an investment in safety nets and nutrition programs in the most vulnerable countries overall. Second is our increases in our support for increasing domestic agricultural production and specifically agricultural productivity. So we are investing in linking farmers to markets, in investing in increasing yields. We're trying to transfer technology, trying to facilitate South-South learning so that, for example, the lessons from Brazil, which has managed to transform its agriculture, are passed through to many countries in Africa as well. So that's the second core plank of our support. And thirdly, we are working with the international community like the G20, to see if trade barriers, which can be a cause for food price volatility, as we've seen in the past, so that trade barriers are removed as much as possible. Specifically, export restrictions are removed so that the flow of grain can flow freely. So some sort of a code of conduct along those lines is something that we will be trying to work on.
Well, Hassan, those are all the questions I have for you, but is there anything else that you'd like to add?
During a time of shrinking budgets and a tightening fiscal situation in many industrialized countries, countries may be tempted to reduce their foreign aid budget. And I would say that this would be a real disaster for many poor people living on the margins, who do depend on the external assistance that they receive. And so, for instance, support for organizations like the World Food Program, which delivers millions of meals to hungry people all across the world, will be affected both by the rising costs of procuring this sort of food and by these shrinking aid budgets. And so I would say it would be important to keep up the pressure for governments to maintain their aid budgets, if not increase them, and also for private charitable donations to continue to many worthy causes around the world.